This is Valley Edition, and a bit of breaking political news this Tuesday morning. Fresno County Supervisor Debbie Poochigian has announced she will not seek re-election. The perfect man to talk about that and other local politics news is with us in our studio today, John Ellis of the Fresno Bee. John, welcome, and let me start out right with Poochigian's decision not to seek office again. A surprise?
A surprise and not a surprise, I guess. You know, first of all, Debbie is kind of in an interesting position now on the board. I think that her power to accomplish what she wants to accomplish has been greatly diminished since Phil Larson and Judy Case McNary left the board. They formed a block that was pretty powerful. I mean, that's a majority of the board. I think with their departure, Buddy Mendez and Brian Pacheco immediately charted out new territory. Now, you know, we're all talking about Republicans here. It's a nonpartisan office, but we all know their parties. Andres Borges, Republican. So I think, you know, on paper, theoretically, you could look at that and say, well, you know, why, you know, they should be able to do what they want. But, you know, widely divergent opinions, widely divergent feelings about how to conduct business, how things could go, what direction the county goes. Mendez and Pacheco seem very amenable to compromise, have just a different approach and a different way to do business, I think, than Debbie. Debbie is from the old school, you know, and she's bare knuckles, and she did a lot of work behind the scenes, you know, for Republicans for decades around here. And so that's the grassroots partisan bare knuckle politics, and that's Debbie's school, I'm not in Debbie's head, but I'm thinking maybe it hasn't been as much fun. Maybe she looks at the future and sees that it's maybe not some, you know, it's not a future that she likes as she looks ahead. And sometimes it's no fun when you're way in the minority. You know, I mean, let's say some people can go collect a paycheck and sit on the back bench and be in the minority party, and they're completely happy with that. Others are not satisfied with that. And Debbie, I think, definitely falls in a category of not being satisfied with that.
So not necessarily in the minority party, but not necessarily in the
minority of the board.
Of the board. Exactly.
Yeah, and I was trying to make an analogy with, like with partisan politics, say in Sacramento, where if you're a Republican, say in the state assembly, say like Jim, let's just use Jim Patterson for an example. You know, well, Jim Patterson is, you know, he's a perfect example. Now, I just wrote about Jim, who says he wants to run for the state Senate. And part of his reasoning is that there's a good chance that the Democrats could, there's a better chance the Democrats win back a 2/3 majority in the state assembly. And if, you know, and essentially, man, you're roadkill if you're a Republican in the state assembly, and they ignore you pretty much as is now. And I think Patterson feels that he would have more chance to, in a body of 80 or down to 40 in the state Senate. So he feels he has a better chance or is more than maybe the minority party is more listened to over on that side of the state legislature. And so Jim Patterson obviously, I guess, feels that it's no fun being in an absolute minority and completely ignored. Now, that's not to say that that wouldn't happen in the state Senate, but I think he just feels like it might be a little better if he could go over there. So I think Debbie falls in the same boat.
So there's already, I imagine, people scrambling this morning trying to position themselves for a potential run for Poochigian's seat.
Right. She didn't give a lot of – obviously, this is very close. I mean, you know, we're already in the middle of January, and the primary's in June. If you can win 50%, that in this local elections, all you have to do is win 50% and you're in. So obviously people – I mean, you know – that you need to be going like right now. I think, like I said, I wasn't completely surprised, but I just think until Poochigian actually said it, nobody actually believes that it would happen. Although I think people aren't, I think nobody probably is shocked who's in the political world. But on the other hand, I think a lot of people may actually be flat footed and now they're trying to sprint out of the blocks quickly. You know, I think Nathan Magsig, who she defeated before, I think would be, he's always looking for opportunity, political opportunity, and I think he probably, I would bet good money he runs. I'm not sure about who else, you know. I mean, you look over on that side of town, on the, you know, you look on that side of Fresno County, it's the Sierras, the foothills, and then down in part of Clovis, but a lot of Clovis is in Andres Borges's, but I think a majority of it is in Debbie's seat, supervisor seat. So I think you'd obviously look to the Clovis City Council. It may be Paul. I'm not quite sure where the lines run, but it may be Paul Capriolio's city council seat. I don't. You see, you look for people with built-in constituencies who would have a leg up. You know, so obviously to me, Nathan, anybody on there, Bob Whalen. I'm not quite sure exactly where they live, but Bob Whalen, Nathan, Lynn Ashbeck. I mean, you just look at potential people coming off that Clovis City Council. To me, right out of the bat, those would be the most logical possibilities who could quickly get up and running.
Ashley Swearingen in Borges District, correct? Her current residence?
Indeed, yeah. She's
she wouldn't be running for that seat.
No, she's way into Borges' district. She's North Fresno. That district doesn't come into North Fresno at all. Yeah.
But that might be something that she would have her eye on otherwise.
Well, I think, you know, what we see happening to me right now is just a lot of potential musical chairs going on here. I mean, there could be more political movement coming this year in Fresno than we've seen in a while, because Clint Olivier running, if he wins.
We'll talk about that in a bit.
If he wins, then his Fresno City Council seat comes open. That could be very important because of the breakdown of the Fresno City Council between Republicans and Democrats. And but anyway, it's just kind of the shakeup, this movement. You know, Clovis City Council hasn't had an election. How many times have they canceled elections because there's been no candidates? And we've just had this kind of a recoronation of the status quo, and you just have the same five continue now. If Mag Sig or Lynn Ashbeck or somebody on there move, you actually will actually have a Clovis City election. I think it'd be like it's always the March after the gubernatorial or the presidential election, so it'd be a year from March, which would be the first time I think in two or three cycles that we've had an election there.
Well, speaking of status quo and the potential for change, let's talk about another city council, or rather, let's talk about another county board of supervisors seat, and that's the one currently held by Henry R. Perea, Perea the Elder, and his seat on that body seems to be safe if he wants it. I don't think he would be seeing significant challenger if he sought reelection.
Well, Sal Quintero has said he's running. Now, Sal's a sitting Fresno City Council member with a constituency. Obviously, we just talked about that.
And when was the last time a sitting board of supervisor was defeated?
It's probably been a long time. But, you know, I think you can see anything's possible in the fact that Elizabeth Egan was defeated as district attorney. If you get the right person at the right time with the right amount of money. Now, I'm not saying that this is Sal Quintero. I mean, Henry's already beat Sal once. This would be a rematch, 12 years in the making. So I'm not saying it would be easy for Sal. Henry would be by far the favorite, prohibitive favorite, I would say. It's hard because it's not all of Sal's district. It's only part of his city council district. And Henry obviously has been there for a while. And I just think, yeah, Henry would be tough to beat. Obviously, really tough to beat.
That is if he decides to run for reelection, because he might have his eyes set on another seat. And in fact, he has said as much.
He has. He told a meeting of the Central Valley Progressive PAC that he was 99.9% sure that he was going to run for Fresno mayor. But with, you know, 99.9 is not one, you know, and I pointed that out when I wrote about it. That's not 100. And I think we all know Henry's been dancing around this question for months. And it was yes and no and yes and no. And Dan Ronquillo was going to run for his seat. Fresno County supervisor seat, and then backed out. And he said, the reason I'm backing out is because Henry's going to run for reelection. But, you know, it just, as things go, I think everybody kind of waited on Chief Dyer, Jerry Dyer, the Fresno police chief. I think if he had run, there was no way Henry was going to go down that road and take on Dyer. Dyer would be very tough to beat by anybody. With Dyer out, I think maybe Perea looks at the field. He sees two Republicans. Lee Brand and HB's, and maybe he says he's willing to roll the dice. You know, I always wonder, you know, this obviously could be if he, you know, we're all getting up there, you know, all these musicians keep dying, you know, Glenn Frey, you know, so Prey and Brand even are, you know, they're no spring chickens anymore. And so I think Henry's, you know, if you look at his political career, it's the more of it is behind him than ahead of him. And so I think a big question for, you know, for Perez, if he runs and loses, you know, is that the end of the road for him? And could that be the last, you know, is that the way you want to go out? I think everybody wants to go out on their own terms. And so I think maybe I'm not in, once again, not in anybody's head here, but I always wonder, like, you know, I've watched Perea for a long time. Does he want to roll the dice and possibly go out a loser? But then again, the upside is you become mayor of the fifth largest city in California. And I think that is something that Perea very much would like to be.
And right now, there really is no other Democrat out there. Again, a nonpartisan race.
Right. But we all know the party. Everybody knows the parties, who gives the money and who does the endorsements. The central committees, the people who have the true believers, the ones who make the phone calls, who walk the precincts, those guys, they know the political parties of the people running. And if Perea is the only one, but, you know, you still have this political reality of Fresno, which is that Republicans and those people north of Shaw overwhelmingly still, even though there's 25,000 more Democrats registered in Fresno, city of, than there are Republicans, the Republicans still, their turnout is in such great numbers that they still determine largely who the mayor of the city is. Now, that's probably going to change at some point, whether it's this year, 4, 8, 12 years from now. You just don't know. But I see this edge of Democrats growing. But there's still that challenge of getting, you know, this is the Democratic Party's challenge, getting these people to the polls. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I'm sure Perea would not do anything without polling. So if he runs, he has probably polled and has a chance, what he thinks, I think, a good chance in his mind of winning. I don't think he would run if he doesn't have that chance. But I will believe it when he pulls, not only pulls the papers, but turns them back in, and you can't even start that process until February 15th.
The other part of this is money, of course, and it takes money to run for an office like that. His son has a lot of money sitting in campaign accounts.
And his dad does not have a lot in his supervisor, and he cannot transfer over a lot because they're different. They're, you know, unlimited fundraising for the soups and fundraising that matches the state for the city. So there are definite rules on how much Henry could use of that money.
So can Henry the Younger transfer money to Henry the Senior to help him run for mayor?
Only as much as is allowed by the state, which is, I think, $8,200.
Okay.
But there's a big but here.
Independent
expenditure. It's a huge but. I mean, I don't know what the rules are exactly, but I don't see any reason why Henry T. Perea, he's got like $900,000 in that account. He has a couple of accounts. I don't know if he wanted to, could spend $500,000 to $600,000. I don't even know if there's any limitation. Could he spend all $800,000? I mean, in Fresno, that kind of money could go so far. But the downside is that Henry T. Perea just quit 1 year early from the assembly and essentially has stuck Fresno County taxpayers with a $500,000 special election bill. For starters, if nobody wins 50% in the primary, then they go to a runoff. That's going to add another $100,000. I mean, we could be upwards of $650,000 in the taxpayer money, Fresno County taxpayer money. My guess is that Lee Brand or HB's are going to make voters very well aware whether or not that money's used or not. I think if Henry T. Perea uses a dime to try to run an independent expenditure to help his dad, there's going to be a whole campaign built around, you know, here's your taxpayer dollars at work now trying to, because he didn't pay for this, and now he's using it instead to try to get his dad elected. I mean, but I even think even if he doesn't use it, I still think the fact that Henry T. Perea,
because
the Perea name is a brand, whether you're Henry T. or Henry R., I think a lot of, you know, it's if people view them as one and the same. When Henry T. ran for mayor in 2008, you know, Henry R. was loomed large there because it's the dynasty. It's the family dynasty. It's like the Bushes, you know, or the Clintons, you know. I mean, if people are, you know, we always talk about this. Do we have Clinton fatigue or Bush fatigue? You know, so.
And there's a lot of criticism on Henry T. for leaving early and the cost of that election. Republicans, including Jim Patterson, now Jim's saying he wants new legislation to make those leaving early pay for the special election. The one Republican not making that criticism, Clint Olivier.
Right.
Because he would, if he's successful in winning the seat that was vacated by Perea would have a special election for city council to fill his vacancy,
indeed,
correct?
Which could be another six-figure sum to put on a special election to fill his seat that the city would have to. So if you live in the city of Fresno, which means you also live in the county, you could be hit because of this movement. You could be hit with bills for special elections in huge amounts of money. Yes, so Clint could April 5th, special election. Clint, well, there's four candidates in there right now. Two of them don't really know very well. One's a nonpartisan. The other is actually a Democrat. And then we have, of course, Joaquin Arambula, the son of Juan Arambula, and then Clint Olivier. Republicans really like their chances in the special election. Clint would take the seat. If he could win 50%, he takes the seat immediately. But he could be a very short assembly member because then he has to actually run for a full term. So he could be in there in April and out by December 3rd.
And Democrats have held that seat since 40
years.
Bruce Bronson and
mid-70s.
And Rick Lehman
and I think
and
the
Sarah Reyes and Cruz Bustamante.
And Joaquin's dad won.
Yeah.
Although he declined to state. I think we all, at the end of the day, I think he still caucused with the Democrats and we all knew where he stood.
In the doghouse.
But I think the Democrats view that as their seat. And I think the Republicans, if they look at that seat, say, is that worth spending money to try to win? And when we have other seats that we need to hold or that we could actually really have a better chance of winning. And I think that to me will be the ultimate test of Olivier. The donor class, if they look at that seat, they don't want to anger the Democrats and they may, you know, and the Democrats may lean on them. And so they may look at this and say, well, we can't win that seat. We don't really have a chance. So we should probably stick with the Democrat. Republicans may look at it and say, we really don't have a chance to win it. So, you know, Clint, you're on your own. And then the Democrats may say, we're not going to lose that seat. You know, we need it. It's too important to us. It's always been ours. And so we're going to hold it. And they usually have more money to spend than the Republicans do. So I think Clint has a tough road now. I think if you talk to Clint, he thinks if he can win in April, which I think he thinks his chances are good, then he has the incumbent by his name. He will be up there. Maybe you can get some institutional money, like PG&Es of the world and those people that they give to the legislators if they're in office. And so
the Andy Vidak effect, essentially.
Right.
Wins a special election and then.
But it is. And as I've pointed out, in fact, I just was having a discussion about that this morning. Those are, I think, vastly different districts. That Valadao Vidak area of the central of the San Joaquin Valley, low turnout, and I think the loyalty of the Democrats. I think a lot of Democrats vote Republican out there. They're very conservative Democrats. I think they vote for David Valadao for Congress. And I think they voted for Andy Vidak for Senate. Less of that in this assembly district. And I think also Rambler's people will point out to you that Leticia Perez against Vidak won Fresno County. The Fresno County part of the district. So it's still going to be a tough, I'm not saying it's impossible for Clint, and Clint's a good candidate, you know, speaks Spanish and he's a TV, former TV guy. So he talks, presents well. So I'm not saying it's possible. And he's probably one of the better candidates that the Republicans have been able to put up in that seat. But it's still, I think, a tough road for a Republican to win that seat.
We will continue to watch it throughout 2016. John Ellis of the Fresno Bee joining us today to talk about the surprise news today, or at least surprise from some perspectives, that Debbie Poochygian will not be seeking re-election to her Fresno County Supervisor seat and other political news. John, thank you as always.